but she thought that was a very bad connotation, was authoritative state. Well, that was a very authoritative statement. Like, who are you? And I said, yes, it was an authoritative statement. It came from the authority.
Yes.
The authority of the Word of God.
Right.
Who God, who is the authority.
Yes.
So, yes, that was a very authoritative statement spoken of by the true authority.
You didn't back off.
No, heck no, I'm not going to back off, especially if I'm giving the Word of God and they say, well, how dare you make such an authoritative statement? Well, how dare you be so argumentative?
Yes, yeah, same thing that I did to P.K. McCary when she came out with her asinine devil book, the so-called Ghetto Bible, when she debated me on Channel 9 News, and I just tore into her, and a lot of the black preachers says that wasn't the way to teach, to treat a lady. And I said, who said that this woman was a woman?
Exactly. A lady. No lady. This is no lady.
This lady is a blaspheming heretic. Man.
I found the article that mentions the Moore Park winning the academic decathlon.
Okay.
And it says that in the academic decathlon, teams take written multiple choice tests in seven subjects, including math, economics, music, and literature. Students also write essays, give speeches, and participate in interviews.
So that's how they choose them for the debate.
That's what debates are now.
There's no more debating teams.
There's no more teams that sit with jackets and dresses on and look at the other team and debate an issue. That's what you do now. You sit and you write things out. You sit and have an interview, or you give a speech.
And then you
got the debates that we're just talking about. They don't do that anymore.
Yeah, and then you got people writing the SLOs, which are nothing but the directions or the format, how the so-called debate is going to go. And you got to follow the SLO. And if the SLO doesn't produce a certain kind of answer, then that's not the kind of answer they've been had. Mm-hmm. They are not participating in a debate at all.
No.
They have been had, and the persons that formulated it are nothing but facilitators. I know, because on my job, I was in a meeting, and they said, John, you've got to write an SLO for Philosophy 1.
What is SLO? I'm sorry.
SLO, man, those are the student learning objectives.
Okay.
They are student learning objectives. In other words, every class has to teach the same thing. Every instructor has the same objective, and the government has to look at these objectives, and the government will okay paying the teacher and the student getting a degree if they agree with the student learning objective that you put forward. I was in a meeting, and I said, I teach my philosophy class. What if I don't want to teach what the other professor is teaching? What if I don't believe what he's teaching?
Well, see, and that's the issue.
Right.
Because now they're making everything into plain white bread.
Yes.
And
yes.
No matter what class you go to, right, you get plain white bread.
Yes.
And everybody's got the same thing. When I went to college, there was lines to get into certain professors' classes.
Absolutely.
Because certain professors would challenge people. Certain professors would...
You just mentioned me.
Yes.
Because everybody wants to take my class,
yes,
in the college, man.
Yes. But see, you're now... If there's 100 people trying to beat your doors down to get into your class, and this poor guy's got an empty class,
right,
he's going to feel bad. You'll make him feel bad because... You're making him look bad. And man, the bottom line is, as you're saying,
yeah,
the government,
right,
wants to have control,
yes,
over everything so that every student comes out stamped with the same little stamp on his forehead, the
and
government good housekeeping stamp of approval,
right,
that you have the exact same educational experience, which is dumbed down, and that's why they call it slow.
Right, right, right. Man, you've been dumbed down by a system that has been facilitated and orchestrated to do that. And since you've been dumbed down, well, my question is, when are you going to stand up and start fighting? When are you going to stand up and say enough is enough? I forget the name of the movie, but the guy died in it when he said, I'm mad as hell, and I'm not going to take it any
Network.
Longer. Network was the name of the movie.
Yeah, Peter Finch.
Peter Finch.
Mm-hmm.
Man, that was a great scene when he was trying to get the minds back of the American population.
And what he, what what happened to him, the whole thing was they allowed him to be that crazy person because of networks and because of ratings, and it ended up he lost his mind and found himself saying that he was part of the mix, and they had to kill him at the end because he became this powerful thing.
Man, listen, I'm telling you guys out there listening to us, what you got to do is you've got to devise a plan, a system to stand up. You've got to think the analysis of everything through in your life. And it sounds like this. Okay, I got to do this. They're asking me to do that. We had a great example in the Bible study last night. A young lady was working in the collections, and someone called, and they were literally crying because they're losing their home. And the young person was feeling bad because they were losing their homes. And she asked her bosses, is there anything we can do with this person? And the boss told her basically, no, tell them it's over. We've taken the property and it's like that. And I had to counsel the young person and tell them, you do what they pay you to do. Don't get involved with this. It's not your fault. But this young person has a heart. And her heart was breaking because here this grown man is on the other end of the line crying. See, and so we as Christians feel that way, but we've been trained in a system not to feel anything. We just respond. We just do it. Mm-hmm. You know, we just do it. And there's no propensity to try to have garnered feelings for anyone or to empathize with them or to alleviate their pain. So let's try and answer the question here. Since we're going about almost 30 minutes in this webcast tonight, how do we come back to, guys, the debating disposition without being, because you know they're going to say that we're rude, that we're not considering the other person.
You're a hater.
You're a hater, a troublemaker. And well, how do we bring that back?
You have to keep introducing critical thinking to the people that you talk with, because if you don't, that was the kind of stuff that I learned in college and through my family about when to think about something and to flush it out, try to understand it so that I could be aware of what's going on and be able to think through the situation so that, you don't get frustrated, you don't lose your mind, because if in anything, you have to keep thinking. If you're in traffic and cars are coming and there's a big accident and you listen to the radio, okay, how do I get out of this? Do I know other routes to get out of this? It's critical thinking that is lost on a generation that does all their thinking through their thumbs on their phones.
I teach that in college, and you guys should know in my three classes that I teach, and when I get into critical thinking, none of the students, you hear me, not one will critically think. And they told me this last week, Bob, we have never heard that we could do that. These are college students, man. These are 20. Mm-hmm. These are 18 to 25 year olds telling me in three different classrooms, we were told to remain quiet and that they had all of the answers and they would tell us what the answers were and we would be rewarded. These students are telling me this. If we just follow what they said, Bob, there's something wrong with these human beings.
It was a must in my house growing up. It was a must about thinking. What did I tell you to do?
Right.
So there was no getting out of it.
That's how come
I told you what to do.
I didn't get another whipping, right.
Your critical thinking will keep you out of trouble and keep you thinking so that you don't get caught up in something without thinking.
Right.
And you're absolutely right. They would take you through that process.
Yes.
Okay. Explain yourself.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Now, give me a logical reason why you had to do this.
Right. Yes.
Why did you come home late? Why did you do this? Why isn't your room clean? And it was looking me in the eye that was,
Right. And there was no escaping.
There was this communication. Now, the parents now don't. That's what I want to get to. Parents now don't put a demand on their kids for results. There's no demand about getting to the standard, reaching the standard and then achieving above the standard. Because if there's no demands on you to dress a certain kind of way sometimes or speak a certain kind of way, carry out your chores all the time without me having to remind you, when there's no standard put on that and they don't put the pressure on you to do it consistently, you're going to mess up in college. Your professors are going to look at you like, you can't do this work. What's wrong with you? And so if you, I got that at home about how to think, you get into college. College teaches you how to think more critically through issues that are in your book and then what's supposed to be in your head. That's been gone because it appears that the parents now didn't put pressure on their kids to do it the right way.
Aren't we as parents supposed to? Now it's different, Bob, because, you know, like in the relationship that you're in now, the kids were already well on the way,
right.
Okay? Kids are well on the way. And Mark is childless, so he can't. But when my kids were born, it's like this wonderful letter that I got, and I've already corresponded with Mikhail, so he doesn't mind me sharing this. And I want to share this letter again because it really speaks about this issue. Hello, Pastor John. I'm starting to get mad as all get out. Yes, I want to swear. The more I learn, the angrier I get. The people that we have relied upon to protect us, politicians, religious leaders, and etc., have betrayed us. Now, here's a young man coming to fruit in his mind for the first time in his 20s. He says, I'm watching the lectures by Yuri, okay, that was done in Los Angeles, and he is telling the story of my short life. The young lad said he was born in 1981 up to the present. He said that his wife and I were speaking yesterday because it is starting to sink in that our public education system have purposely tried to make us dumb. Mm-hmm. See, and here's an African-American male saying,
exactly.
Now I'm figuring out what the heck happened to me.
I just figured out I'm stupid.
Right.
I just figured out I'm stupid.
Man,
I could do this, but I have no idea what this grown person just told me.
And this is what he goes on and says. He says, I could have been smarter. I have so much untapped intellectual potential, and they purposely suppressed it. Mm-hmm. You see, and that's what Yuri was talking about.
Yes.
When the socialists come into your mind and tell you, we'll take care of your life. Yes, we can. Change is going to happen. And you don't know how it's going to take place. Then that person has suspended you in animation.
Yeah. Well, and unfortunately, because I know a lot of us liked a lot of the things that Reagan did, but one of the things that he did in the 80s, as this gentleman is speaking of, is mm-hmm. he brought Gorbachev's education system over here.
Yes, he did.
And that is
what,
now how the focus is changing to where it's not so much about what you know, it's much more about group project. It's much more about how you relate with others. Do you play well with others? Do you participate in the group?
Yeah.
I mean, that's really... And then the other thing is the excellent student who, number one, when they're put in the group, then they pull up the group grade and they basically pull the load for the other people. But then the other thing that they're doing with a lot of these is they're making them student mentors and student teachers, that once you have already achieved this level on your SLO, S-L-O,
mm-hmm.
you've reached that objective, rather than being put into an accelerated class or skipping a grade or something like that to keep you at that level, down to that level. They have you teach the dumber students and try to bring them up to the same level where you're at.
Right.
And so they have you spinning your wheels because you got your homework done in 10 minutes and you got another hour and a half to go, so you need to help the dumber students finish their homework.
That's exactly the way they did it.
Yes.
Exactly the way they did it. And they did not reward the student that should have gotten the reward.
In some respects, that's punishing the student.
Absolutely, especially when he has to go back and explain as an instructor to his peers
mm-hmm.
how he thought through it.
Right.
You see, and then when you have, oh man, I got to say this, and when you have females running the educational system
right.
who resent the idea of a smart male, let's put it this way, okay, a smart white male excelling or a smart Asian male excelling because it was a part of his tradition that he might do that.
Mm-hmm.
And they're running the school systems, and in order to bring the other person up. Now, I know a lot of you blacks listening to me may think I'm a racist, but well, look in the mirror and then ask where your mammy is. I'm not thinking about you because I'm tired of it. They slow these individuals down, and this is primarily what affirmative action is all about.
Mm-hmm.
Affirmative action is stifling someone else's potential and growth to help someone else come up. That is social education.
Mm-hmm.
And this is taken over in our schools. And I might add, my daughters went through none of that mess. They did what they did on their own, and we were not in a special ed program to put them through UCLA. Because I taught them and showed them that you are rewarded for hard work.
Mm-hmm.
And if you don't do that hard work, you don't get the reward. It's just terrible. He goes on in this letter and says, I see myself as fairly smart, but compared to your generation, I'm dumb. He says, I may know calculus and physics, but I can't think my way out of a plastic bag. This is a grown man saying this.
Yeah.
Because he's thinking about the simple things in life. Mm-hmm. Stump him. He spends too much time saying, why am I thinking about that? Because he never had anyone, especially, what if he had a fifth grade teacher, a male fifth grade teacher in his elementary education that would just take him under his wing and say, son, this is the way you do this, this is the way. And then he had some communication with his parents and said that Michael is a smart kid. You need to, you know, push him in this area. But now the PTA is no longer the PTA.
Hmm.
It's just a bunch of rules shoved down the throat of the parent or the guardian of the child fulfilling these SLOs so that the schools can get more government money.
Right.
This is crazy, crazy, crazy. He said, I could have saved myself much of the headache and pain, but I was only, if only I was taught how to discern. Again, this young man says, I don't know how to discern. I could have went to hell because of this, but because of God's gracious hand. Then he said that he's highly ticked off. He's upset. Then he says, and this was the interesting part of his email to me, now I have to relearn everything.
Mm-hmm.
See, here's the person saying, now, you know what? I have no idea how that feels, man, to have to relearn everything.
Right. And basically what the Lord is delivering him from is the dialectic.
Yes, yes.
Where he has been taught and brainwashed to filter everything through the group, to not be able to think for himself.
Right,
right.
But to only process the way people tell him to process things.
Yeah.
And so all of a sudden, the Lord is opening his eyes to the truth and saying, no, there's black and white.
Right.
There's right and wrong.
Right.
There's yes and no.
Right.
It's not all shades of gray.
Right.
And because, you know, well, what's good for you is good for, you know, that's okay for you. It's not quite for me, but it's okay. Everything's all right. It's all equal. No, it isn't. Just as in the debate,
mm-hmm,
our Christianity, we're commanded to go out and tell people the truth.
Yes.
Jesus is the way.
Yes.
The truth and the life. No man comes unto the Father but by him. So we are supposed to go out and preach. We are supposed to take a fact and state it as a fact, be able to back it up with other facts.
Yes.
So that it's not just another view that's of equal and valid value,
and we lose
of everybody else's other view.
We lose the debate, Bob, because we have no evidence to back up the words that we're saying.
Most Christians cannot.
They can't do it.
Argue their faith. They cannot do the apologetic.
There's no evidence at all. So therefore, and that's why they're in a non-debative disposition. Debating is a loss for the average so-called Christian because they have no sustenance to back up what they think they believe.
Right.
There's something my dad taught me about
wow.
in the courtroom that the lawyers would go at it, you know, confrontational, adversarial.